This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. Time for fantasy football with our guy Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. We do it each and every Thursday, 4 to 4:30 for this football season. And you can always use Twitter and use the hashtag Big Fantasy. Tweet it to at 105.7 FM The Fan, or you can dial it up. Ian joins us now. Good afternoon, Ian. How you doing?
Good to be back, dudes. It was a fun week one. A lot of high-scoring games, and hopefully more of the same coming up here week two.
Tell me why I should be excited about Cleveland-Cincinnati tonight.
Oh, I think we're going to see the coming-out party of Mr. Joe Burrow. I know week one wasn't all that pretty, but, you know, going up against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram and that pass rush, I don't think anyone was really expecting it to be pretty. So I'm not trying to take anything away from Myles Garrett, but I think this is a little bit better spot for him. We saw some of the flashes, especially, you know, what he can do mobility-wise. He is far from a statue in the pocket. And, you know, I just think he's coming. I don't want to make any Mahomes comparisons or anything, but people have gone on a limb and said, you know, in 5-10 years, we could be looking at him in that light. So I think we're going to see an example of why he is, you know, entering those longer-term conversations already.
Let's get to the calls. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan. Tom in Franklin, you're next, or first up, I should say, with Ian Harditz. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. Hey, Ian, I've got a non-PPR flex position. I need, obviously, one of these. Either Kenyon Drake, Marquise Hollywood Brown, or J.K. Dobbins.
Drake, Hollywood, or Dobbins? So I'm going to cross Dobbins off right now. I know he had the two touchdowns last week, and, you know, kudos there, but really was a 1A, 1B backfield with him and Mark Ingram, with Gus Edwards also siphoning off a little more carries than fantasy managers would prefer to see. So, you know, I think the best is yet to come for Dobbins, but I'm still worried about the touch count. Drake versus Hollywood, I mean, it's a pretty good problem to have. I would still go with Kenyon Drake. I know that week one, he didn't produce a ton, but still found the end zone, and more importantly, played 69% of their snaps. And, you know, Chase Edmonds made the most of his touches, fair play, but this is a really fast offense that is looking like, as good as Kyler was in week one, is looking like they're going to be, you know, in that top 10, top 12 scoring units when the season's all said and done. So continue to ride their RB1, but, you know, I hope the rest of your lineup is pretty rock solid, because I do like Marquise Brown. He's my wide receiver 22 on the week as well. Just think Drake still deserves to be treated as a top 10 back.
All right, Ian Harditz, Pro Football Focus, brought to you by Creative Construction of Wisconsin. Over 90 years of experience. That is a long time. For all of your stucco or plaster needs, go to callcreativeconstruction.com. Chris in New Berlin, you're next with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus here on The Fan. What's
hey
up, Chris?
Guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I got a standard scoring league. I need two of the four. I got A.J. Brown, Will Fuller, Kareem Hunt, and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, so with standard, I think we're going to have to go with Will Fuller and Melvin Gordon. Just got some news shortly before this show that A.J. Brown's dealing with a knee sprain. Schefter's saying it could be a potential multi-week injury. So even if he does make it out there by Sunday, you know, not expecting him to be at 100%, then it was disappointing to see Kareem Hunt's workload. That he got a bunch of usage last week, but that was more because the Browns, you know, who lost that game 38-6. got behind. Chubb fumbled kind of at the end of the third quarter, and the fourth quarter was all just catch-up mode, Kareem Hunt out there, as we expect, you know, from the primary pass down back. But last season, Hunt spent 30% of his snaps in the slot or out wide. In week one, that number dipped to only 10%. So it was truly more of a, you know, Chubb or Hunt is out there. I think before the season, we were hoping they would continue to do the Chubb and Hunt out there. So I just think the ceiling for both Hunt and Chubb is a little bit lower than we might have hoped for, even though, you know, if one goes down, we'll be talking about him every week, RB1. Melvin Gordon figures to benefit at least a little bit from Philip Lindsay being out. I know the matchup against Pittsburgh isn't ideal, but he still should be treated as a top 20 RB this week. And then Will Fuller, you know, wide receiver 15 on the week for me. I just think that whenever this guy is healthy and in the lineup, regardless of the opponent, you got to find somewhere to start him.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Some breaking news here on the Fan, brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Just when I think I have certain people figured out, I get proven that I have no idea about anything. Deion Sanders, according to reports, expected to be named the new head college football coach at Jackson State. Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. Ian, you?
I did not see that one come. I think he was trying to say he wanted to coach at Florida State. So, you know, good for Deion for trying to give back, I guess. But we'll see how it plays out.
Jackson State. Okay, your questions for Ian Hart. It's 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 105.7FM, The Fan. Like Josh did, start one running back in a PPR. Antonio Gibson, Jordan Howard, or Adrian Peterson. And of course, he used the hashtag BigFantasy.
Yeah, we're going to leave Jordan Howard out for now. And it was looking like he could maybe be the guy in Miami before the season started, but they are honestly using four running backs right now. We can deal with two RB committees, but once we get into three or four, that's where we kind of want to look elsewhere. And, yeah, so between Gibson and Peterson, I would have to give it to Peterson right now. And he did really look good in week one, getting those, I believe, 14 carries and even a little bit of pass down work as well. You know, it doesn't really make sense that Peterson walks into the Lions' locker room a week before the season starts and immediately works ahead of DeAndre Swift and Kerryon Johnson, but that's the reality we're living in. Antonio Gibson, unfortunately, still working pretty far behind both J.D. McKissic and Peyton Barber. So, you know, I'm still bullish on Gibson's longer-term outcome in his rookie season. I just figured it might take a month for him to really take over that backfield. So for now, give me old man AP.
Old man AP it is. Rob in Pewaukee, you're next with Ian Hart. It's a Pro Football Focus here on The Fan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I need one of these in a flex PPR. Keenan Allen, Chris Carson, Emmanuel Sanders, or Nyheim Hines.
Sanders, Hines. Yeah, so out of that group, it's close. So I would say Hines, not quite in that conversation just yet. I have him as my RB30. I still think Chris Carson will have RB17. It's a superior play. You know, Hines, I think that first game lends itself pretty strongly to what his skill set is. I think, you know, more weeks than not, we're going to see closer to a 60-70 snap split in favor of Jonathan Taylor, with Hines, you know, being more of a pass-down primary back. So out of this group, I would, I think, lean with Chris Carson. And Keenan Allen's going to have better days. But, hey, Mike Williams, you know, to his credit, looked a lot like a Chargers wide receiver one in week one. And then while Manny Sanders is going to be the number one guy during Michael Thomas's absence in the wide receiver room, I do question how many targets that will, in fact, end up being with Alvin Kamara there and with Jared Cook potentially being a big part as well. So I feel like Manny Sanders is the top, I believe, 26, 27 wide receiver this week. But out of that group, give me Chris Carson.
All right, Rob, thanks for the call. I got one for you, not to overreact to week one scenarios, but what in the world is going on with the New York Giants and Saquon Barkley?
Oh, man, wasn't pretty. He actually, the Steelers held the Giants to negative 1.1 yards before contact per rush. So he was literally having a defender, you know, making contact with him before he was even a yard away from the line of scrimmage. So complete disaster. But, you know, the reason why guys like Saquon and McCaffrey have just been unanimously atop the fantasy ranks this entire offseason and for the better part of the last 2 years is that receiving work that, you know, somewhat managed to salvage Barkley's day. I mean, 9 targets, 6 catches for 60 yards. This was the worst-case scenario game for Barkley, but unlike some running backs where their worst-case scenario game is literally, you know, 2 or 3 fantasy points, Saquon still manages to pull out this sort of line. So,
but Ian,
all that screen,
Ian,
yeah.
with that stat that you gave out, I mean, is there concern that this offensive line is so bad that this is going to be an ongoing problem?
No, I think they face the best defense in the entire league and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That, you know, with when they have Hayward and Tua healthy up the middle, it's just hard for anyone to do anything. And, you know, they returned almost everyone. Everyone likes to talk about Joe Hayden and Minkah Fitzpatrick in that secondary, but, you know, might have underestimated a chance for Devin Bush to take a second-year leap. And this front seven, you know, Bud Dupree. I haven't even mentioned T.J. Watt yet, who's the best player right out there. I mean, they're just loaded everywhere. I think it was just the perfect storm of poor results facing Saquon in week one. If he plays 16 games this year, I would be absolutely shocked if he's anything other than a top five running back.
He is Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus, our fantasy football expert this year on the Wendy's Big Show. Catch him every Thursday from 4 to 4:30. You can either dial it up right now, 414-799-1250, or you can tweet us at 1057FMTheFan. Use the hashtag BigFantasy. If you're on hold, we'll get to your calls coming up next here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Ballard doing fantasy football every Thursday from 4 to 4:30 with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus. You want to be here each and every Thursday. Use the hashtag BigFantasy when you tweet at 1057FMTheFan, and that'll give you your opportunity to get your question asked. And that is the main thing, really, at the end of the day, right? It's all about asking Ian questions.
Who should you start this week? Who is the best pickup on the waiver wire? Should you really make that trade? It's time to get all of your answers with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus, brought to you by Creative Construction of Wisconsin. Over 90 years of experience. For all of your stucco or plaster needs, go to callcreativeconstruction.com.
All right, let's get some more questions for Ian. Where are we going first? Let's go to John in Oak Creek. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
Yes, I have a PPR question. It's for flex. The choices are Robbie Anderson, Noah Fant, or Laviska Shenault. One of those three.
Yeah, so out of those three, I think we got to go with Robbie Anderson. And, you know, it's not even just that he scored that long touchdown, which, hey, fair play to him. I mean, he had a filthy double move on the outside, took it 75 yards to the house. But it was just kind of the overall usage. I mean, going into this season, we expected to see a similar target distribution in Carolina with DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey being kind of the top two guys there. But that wasn't exactly what we saw. I mean, DJ Moore did have a team-high 9 targets, but Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel came in with 8 right behind them, and McCaffrey's all the way down there at 4. So maybe that evens out a little bit, and McCaffrey's going to have more targets in future weeks. But at a minimum, we got Anderson, who is going to be getting the groups, you know, sporadic deep ball targets and an offense that, you know, surprisingly showed a good amount of upside despite their lack of continuity going into the season. So with Laviska, you know, still just wonder what his overall kind of spot is in that pecking order in the passing game. And then Noah Fant just going into that Pittsburgh game. It's kind of like last week with the Giants, where it just seems like a situation where if you can avoid starting anyone on that offense in that, you know, just death spot, I would recommend doing so. So give me Robbie Anderson.
All right, John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Nate in Bayview. You're next with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus here on The Fan.
Hey guys, I got a non-PPR question for you. I need to start two of these between Hunt, James Conner, and Malcolm Brown. Not sure how worried about James Conner I should be.
Yeah, I think it's fair to be pretty worried. I mean, he wasn't able to get back to a full practice today, it sounds like. But the Steelers, just as someone that, you know, for the last few years, like, looked at almost every single one of these injury reports throughout the week, the Steelers have had these weird situations where a guy's full on Thursday and they're back to not practicing on Friday. So, you know, luckily, I know you got to worry about whether or not to play Hunt tonight. So I would say go with Hunt. And then, hey, you know, if by the weekend we get some word that James Conner is 100%, he'll have his usual role. Maybe you can fire him up over Malcolm Brown. But I think right now with the heavy potential for limited snaps and then also just the possibility that Benny Snell makes us more of a two-back committee as it is, I will go with Hunt and Brown.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to a couple of tweets here. Mike tweets at 105.7 FM. The Fan need to start two of Trubisky, Goff, and Bridgewater. Which two of these mediocre to bad quarterbacks would you go with? Hashtag Big Fantasy.
Let's see, that's a late round QB team if I've ever sent one. I'm going to go with Goff and Bridgewater. You know, credit to Trubisky for getting that fourth quarter comeback. But, you know, it really took for the Lions each of their top three cornerbacks to go down with hamstring injuries before that Chicago passing offense started to gel that much. So he's at home. I think we're going to see this offense really go through David Montgomery this week as, you know, nearly touchdown favorites against the Giants. So don't think Trubisky will be relied on too much in the future. Meanwhile, Goff and Bridgewater are in situations where we could see some back-and-forth scoring going on in their respective environments.
Got another one here from Ben. Start Carson Wentz or Kirk Cousins? Hashtag Big Fantasy.
I'm going to go with Wentz. I mean, as awesome as the Vikings offense actually looked in week one, I mean, they led the league with 9 yards per play.
Yep.
I mean, just very efficient. But, I mean, they lost that game by double digits. They were trailing for much of the afternoon. And Kirk Cousins, when it was all said and done, was walking away with only 25 pass attempts. I mean, that's just kind of life in a Gary Kubiak offense, at least with Carson Wentz under center. They don't want to throw the ball any more than they have to. So I'm not afraid of that Indy secondary or anything. But I just think when you look at Wentz, who posted one of the league's highest average target depths. Hopefully that offensive line's a little healthier next week. But either way, we now got, you know, healthier versions of Jalen Reagor and DeSean Jackson out there to go along with the tight ends. I'm sticking to Carson Wentz as a true QB1, and we'll play him consistently over Cousins for this week and the rest of the season.
Mark and Racine, you're next with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus here on the Fan.
Hey, I have a half-point PPR. I have started two of the three backs, Ingram, Dobbins, and Ronald Jones.
Yeah, so it's actually pretty good what we saw from Ronald Jones last week. You know, Bruce Arians has come out and said that, okay, he might be getting Fournette more involved in the future. But at least for this week, I don't think it matters because they're facing truly the single worst rushing defense that we've seen in quite some time. I mean, they were already brutal last year in 2019. And, you know, unsurprisingly, when you take away Luke Kuechly from the equation, they were looking just about as bad in week one. So I would say definitely go with Ronald Jones. Then Ingram versus Dobbins, man, it's, you might as well flip a coin, honestly, because, you know, entering the fourth quarter last week, it was Dobbins leading the way with 19 snaps, and Ingram was right there, I believe, with 18. So it's truly a 1A, 1B situation. I think their, you know, respective carries are going to fluctuate by week. No one in this backfield between Ingram, Dobbins, and Edwards had a target last week, so that didn't help. But I think if they are going to start throwing to someone, it would be Dobbins. So give me Dobbins just barely ahead of him. But, you know, if you ask me again tomorrow, I might flip it. So truly up to you.
All right, there is Mark and Racine. Let's go to Robert in Oshkosh. You're next with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus.
This is my call. Sanders scoring, James Conner, or Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, it's Jonathan Taylor, no doubt. I mean, we just have a lot of questions about Conner's health right now. And even if he does make it to Sunday, there's a chance that Benny Snell, with as good as he looked in week one, makes this more of a committee situation. And Jonathan Taylor, you know, the concern with him going this year was, okay, how involved is he going to be with Marlon Mack, with assuming Nyheim Hines is going to take that pass down work? And that's out of the equation now. So fire up Jonathan Taylor as a borderline RB1 moving forward. And maybe we look back at the snaps on Monday and they decide to get someone like Jordan Wilkins also involved, and we'll have to reassess. But either way, I have a hard time believing Taylor's going to be anything other than a top 20 back, worst case, moving forward.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on that as well. Let's go to Zach in Elm Grove. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show.
All right, half point PPR, Metcalf, Odell, or Robert Woods. 2 out of 3.
Good problem to have, man. Man, it's tough with OBJ. Like, when is it going to happen? He had a chance for a touchdown last week, but Baker sailed it on him. You know, it does seem like one of these situations where Baker's going to continue to kind of see ghosts back there. Like, how much can you trust OBJ? But out of those three, I would go back to the well, mostly just with OBJ, mostly just because Metcalf is the most likely candidate to draw Stephon Gilmore's shadow coverage. And, you know, we did see Metcalf have some trouble in those matchups against corners that can kind of size up with him and run with him. Patrick Peterson actually shut him out last year in shadow coverage. Jalen Ramsey made him work for his production. So, you know, normally shadow matchups, we don't need to worry about him a ton, but I think Stephon Gilmore is an exception. Robert Woods should be in your lineup every single week, man. This dude has been a consistent wide receiver one for the better part of the last 2 or 3 seasons.
All right, guys, time for a couple more to get in here. Let's go to Joe in West Bend. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus.
Hey guys, I got a trade question. I would get Diggs and Cam Akers for Amari Cooper.
Interesting. I would say Cooper and Diggs, honestly, could be fluctuating back and forth. I think both guys are going to be a top 20 receiver more weeks than not. Diggs, I mean, Cooper is probably a little bit safer. I see why you're getting Cam Akers in return. But, yeah, I'd be willing to make that trade, and, you know, especially assuming the other person, if you need to send someone else back in that, they would probably be much worse quality than Cam Akers. I mean, look, it was a great game for Malcolm Brown, but if you look at Sean McVay's post-game comments, wasn't exactly the most ringing endorsement. I mean, he could have easily said, yeah, Malcolm Brown is our best back, and we look forward to more of the same. But, you know, he kind of doubled down on his offseason comments about, you know, they're really happy to have three running backs, and, you know, it's going to be a hot hand approach, and whoever's got the most going will get the rest of the carries. So for Cam Akers to be as involved as he was a really good sign for what could possibly be on the horizon. I know he didn't show enough tackle breaking ability, and just quite honestly didn't produce as well as Malcolm Brown in week one, but you know, wouldn't be shocking if that could flip sooner rather than later.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Let's go to Mike in New Berlin. You're next here on the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Hey guys, I got a question about a flex spot. Darren Waller or John Brown from Buffalo?
Yeah, so John Brown, we'll have to see how the injury news shakes out the rest of the week, but he was a DMP on Wednesday, so not quite sure what's going on with him. But just, you know, kind of with that in mind, I would be going with Waller. And what was good to see from Waller is I was concerned about his kind of overall potential to just not play as much this year, because I didn't understand why Jason Witten would be going to Vegas to bring him in if I didn't have some type of reasoning to enable to give him some of Waller's snaps. But, you know, you look at the week one snap rates, and Waller's out there almost every snap of the game. It turns out Witten is more of an issue for the other backup tight end, Moreau. So I think Waller, he's probably going to lead the Raiders in targets again. You know, we're going to see Gruden continue to try to push Carr to look downfield more often to Henry Ruggs, maybe Brian Edwards a little bit. But once the Raiders get past those first 15 scripted plays or so, we kind of see Carr turn back into the same guy we've seen. And that has been a quarterback that's enabled top five fantasy tight ends in both of the last two seasons. So with John Brown's health, in question, give me Waller.
All right, last one here. Let's go to Ahmed downtown. You're next on the Wendy's Big Show with Ian Harditz of Pro Football Focus.
I just have a flex question, half point PPR. Assuming Godwin is out, Scotty Miller or Devin Singletary?
Ooh, that's I like the way he's talking, man. I think I would go with Scotty Miller, actually. And Singletary, he did okay in week one, but he had seven targets. Moss had four. It was one of the most heavy RB target games of the entire week. I just don't see that happening. You know, Josh Allen was only checked. He had a league worst, just league low check down rate last season. That dude truly loves throwing the ball downfield. You know, with Zach Moss basically making this a two-back committee, I'm just not super certain about Singletary's, you know, touchdown upside. He's just the kind of king of that 60, 70 total yard scoreless performance. And Scotty Miller, man, it just seems like a smash spot to me for the entire Tampa Bay passing game. And if you look at last week, if you remove Godwin and Evans from the equation, Miller was the next most used wide receiver. So you're taking a little bit of a leap of faith, but, you know, lost kind of in TB12's season opening loss. What's the reality? That deep ball looked great. I mean, this is not a end of season 2014 going to 2015 Peyton Manning situation where the guy can't throw a deep ball anymore. I mean, Brady got him to draw multiple long defensive pass interferences down the field that were just perfectly placed passes. So Scotty Miller was one of those guys he was consistently looking for. I think we're going to see, you know, if not one, maybe even two huge plays out of Miller come Sunday.
Follow him on Twitter at iHarditz, iHarditz on Twitter, Ian Harditz, Pro Football Focus. Thanks so much for coming on again this Thursday, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Yeah, sir. See you next week.
Take care. There is Ian Harditz on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion outgrows in your home, Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We got to get Leroy Butler's thoughts on this whole Deion Sanders story coming out. And then we've got the Michigan story as well with the governor of Michigan, Gary. We have lots to talk about coming up in the next segment.
Hot and heavy.
Hot and heavy. And just like, be hot and heavy in your kitchen if you get some meats from Robert Specialty Meats. Watching football this year is a different experience. And if you're doing yours at home tailgating, make sure one thing which hasn't changed is the quality meats from Robert Specialty Meats. Nothing goes better at kickoff than Robert's legendary ribs on a stick. Those go good at any time. I don't care what time of day it is. Boneless pork ribs marinated in a
tangy barbecue sauce and ready in just minutes. Good. Or the equally popular marinated chicken skewers in barbecue, garlic parmesan, or Door County cherry flavors. You also find over 30 different varieties of handmade sausages and brats at Robert's Specialty Meats, including their legendary Al Capone Italian sausage, just full of zesty flavor. We're talking about all kinds of different kinds of meats and cheeses all rolled up inside of one sausage. And I always say take those. You can either grill them or you can put them in the crock pot with some red sauce, get a bomber bun, and have at it. So good. They're open on Sundays at Robert's Specialty Meats with their hot pit ham, perfect for game day sandwiches. Visit them in Waukesha or call Roberts today, 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT for the best selection and reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their cherry wood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the ideal snack treats. Visit their website, robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com, for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there is only one place, Roberts Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on the Fancy Sparky Five for Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler. Executive producer Dan Plucker, other side of the glass. We broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. There was a report out earlier that said Deion Sanders was close to getting a deal with Jackson State. However, that report now being denied by Jackson State. In fact, Ross Dellinger says a Jackson State spokesperson tells SI that the school has narrowed its list of head coaching candidates to three. Deion Sanders, the spokesman says, is not one of them. A hire is expected to be announced next week. Jackson State offensive coordinator T.C. Taylor remains a strong candidate. I guess from my perspective on this whole thing, like, why would you even be interested in the Jackson State job at this point, Leroy?
Hey, he wants to coach.
I guess
so. He wants to coach. And sometimes people want to start at a lower level. He's been trying to get into coaching, but he's too polarizing for some of these organizations.
They don't trust him?
Well, no. He's too big a name. Because, I mean, where do you hide a guy like that, a Hall of Fame type
hide
guy?
Him. Why you want to hide him? He's a head coach.
Because you're not – no. When you go to some of these – if he's not the head coach, I'm saying just to get in, to pay your dues – they put you on the staff, and you got to be available on certain days, not every day, because some people may want to know what he's thinking. Just like when Aaron Nagler asked, what this guy do?
Y'all got this sure guy. Did,
yeah. What like, he do?
Sound like you came at coach a little bit.
Well, I think it's a fair question because you have all these guys in your staff. What do these guys do? So you wouldn't want to hire a guy like Deion to do that, to just sit in a room and don't make a difference on the game plan. You know, he has to wait for his opportunity just like anybody. But it also proves that if they want you, they know they'll create a position for you. They just don't want you. So he has to go down and coach at a level just to show people, okay, I'll go show you that I'm a good coach, and he'll get an opportunity to get a big coach. And I bet you eventually he will be a head coach. Because that's his ambition. He's just a good coach. He coached his son. He just wants an opportunity. No one's gave him an opportunity yet, which is kind of sad. Because you would think you'd at least bring a guy in and see what his, you know, what do you want to do. But again, when you're bringing a guy that polarizing and that flashy to your franchise, they don't like that. They want one voice, one guy to talk. You're available next Thursday to talk to the media, not every day.
Right. So let me ask you guys this.
And your millions of fans on your social media, they got to disappear because you're going to be buried.
So this is my thing. So in basketball, in the NBA, you've got players going from the court to the head coaching position. We've
like
seen
Gary
that.
Like Gary said, the players run that.
Okay, but hold on. In the NFL, okay. You have guys going from broadcast booths to GM roles.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen that much that I can think of players going from the field to head coaching roles. It's almost like you got to serve on a staff at some point in order for you to become a head coach at some point, Gary.
Well, no, let's back it up. You said you got players going for where in the NFL? What now?
You have former players going from broadcast booths to GM roles like John Lynch and those type of guys.
Without
really ever serving in a front office, without ever having a scouting role. Just be Matt Millen is another one who went from radio booth, TV booth to GM. I mean, there's been a bunch of these guys that have gotten these gigs without ever having to work in a scouting department or anything, without any experience. But you don't see the same type of give when it comes to having guys become NFL head coaches. At least it doesn't appear.
I'm going to go ahead and keep it straight 100. What color are they?
White.
Yeah.
Okay, but name me a white guy that came from the football field to be a head coach. I don't think we have any.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but we're not getting those opportunities. I think the opportunities that, and I hate make it race, but the opportunities that, you know, Charles Barkley even said that, why can't I have an opportunity to fail like these guys? I mean,
the Rooney rule was supposed to help with that.
Yeah, and it never did, but it didn't. I mean, they tried to make it work, but it just fell on deaf ears because they're going to hire who they want to hire. I think when you start looking at some of the questions that you're asking, Steve, and I think a lot of it is race related. But if you look at the hiring process, and Leroy's talking now about Deion Sanders, why can't he get a job? As a head coaching job. I mean, listen, why didn't Florida State offer him a job from the get-go when they had the opening?
No.
He should.
I don't know why Edgar Bennett, at least Edgar Bennett, you can make a case for him. He's been an assistant coach for 100 years.
There's another one. Overqualified.
Yes.
Overqualified. Yes. Edgar Bennett's overqualified. Why didn't they hire Edgar Bennett?
No idea.
There's another one. Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me? Why isn't Edgar Bennett, I don't know if he wants to be, but why isn't Edgar Bennett a general manager in the NFL? He's been in the league for how long?
Mm-hmm.
Since day one, damn near. I mean, he's got at least like 25 years in the NFL experience. And so some of this stuff to me is, you know, and then we ask ourselves, who's the head coach at for the New York Giants?
Joe Judge, who was with the Patriots.
What was he? Special teams coach?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
You're kidding me.
That's what John Harbaugh was before he got the job with the Ravens. He was special teams coach for the Eagles, I think.
Exactly. But John Harbaugh had a little name recognition. Is it the last name? Yeah, had a little name recognition. So sometimes that helps you a lot. But still, I mean, a lot of black folks ain't getting those type of opportunities in abundance. And you're saying it right, Steve. If you're doing the capital of how many blacks versus how many whites in the NFL.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy brought in Rob Davis and made him an assistant head coach. You need somebody to give you opportunity.
He did that also with Winston Moss too. I think Winston Moss was assistant head coach.
Sure was.
Yeah. Yep. You have to have people that say, you know, I recognize this, acknowledge it, and keep it moving. Because Deion Sanders has widely said he wants to coach, but people, again, he's going to bring too much attention, and they don't like that, man. You got to get in one of these organizations and you just been in the film room and just do your thing. And if you're friends or buddies, somebody call you up, man, my nephew needs a job. Hey, man, make him quality control. And remember the guy from Ohio State? Remember Indianapolis put him up in the booth to look for replays, the head coach with the vest.
Yes.
Ohio State. They just Trussell. Created.
He's at Youngstown State now, isn't he running Trussell. Youngstown State?
Yeah, this is a long time ago. They created a position. They create these, but you're Aaron Nagle. This guy is a senior staff. Also, what is he doing?
That was the funny. Other guy. Is it Schiano?
Greg Schiano. Schiano
was another one. They kind of created some stuff for him. He kind of just went along with
it. Saban does it all the time in Alabama for all those guys.
Yeah, everybody and now he's back. Now Schiano's back at head coach at Rutgers.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking about. Right. So we're talking about head coaching jobs, right? And Deion Sanders looking for one, wants to be one. And listen, and I will say this, though, and I'm going to go straight 100. A lot of these guys want you to be committed, and Deion may have too many irons in the fire for them. Is he going to be available for us like we want him to be 24/7, or is he going to be on his Learjet on Friday? They play on Saturday. He's got an event he needs to be at all day Friday, and then fly to the game on Saturday and meet him there. They ain't having that.
No, probably not.
Right.
No,
is he going to go out? Is he going to go out on the recruiting trail and go talk to these kids, or is he going to tell everybody else to do it? And then, you know, I mean, I don't know. Who knows?
Can I put a bow on this?
Sure.
I gotta say it. Martin Mayhew, I played with him at Florida State.
I'm mad with him though, Roy.
He was a general manager in Detroit.
Mad with him.
He's the general manager. I don't think people heard me. Can this is this thing on? He's the general manager with a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with him. I already know him now. I already know him, okay? This is facts. I met with him. And we were talking about me coaching in Detroit. At this point, this was maybe about 10 years ago, I think. I really wanted to get into coaching. So I'm thinking I already know him. He know what I know, basically. The football ain't the issue. It's just an opportunity. Just bring me in to meet with the Ford people who gave me a dealership in one of the smallest markets, by the way, the Ford family.
Wapaka.
I'll be indebted to them, what they did for me. They made me a minority dealer when other people wouldn't. So, but let's get... I'm thinking we have a good meeting. I'm going to get a phone call from somebody say, hey, man, come on up here. Let's have an official interview. Never heard a word. John Gruden. I remember he was there with... when he was an intern, riding bicycles, toting playbooks, he gets the job at Oakland. I say, man, I got a chance to go out there with Edgar, man. I don't mind relocating out there, you know, no big deal. Two or three Texas crickets. So at that point, I say, I'm done with that. I'm done with it. Because anybody that's, you need somebody like Mike McCarthy to say, or your own kind. I'm going to give my guy a chance. Okay? If I own a radio station, just the bow, and I don't call either of you two to come with me to start it after working 10 years, you should feel a type of a way. Not like I owe you something, but you wouldn't even like hire me and Gary to be the program directors but sometimes when you get power, it's dangerous, but how do you use it? You can be narcissistic, and it's about you, or you can say, I want to help somebody else. That's why you get the coaching tree. You create your own tree. That's what Holmgren did. Hey, man, I'm going to hire all these guys, go be GMs and coaches, but I taught you all the way. Help your fellow man out. You know, put him on the payroll and get the man back in the pension and all that. There's a lot of benefits to this stuff. After a while, you just get sick of it. I'll go down to college. Or I'll go to Muskego and have fun with my babies. They're grown men now. That's the frustration Dion probably going through. Because he had opportunities to work with some HBCUs or some other lower levels. And he said, if I really want to go into coaching, I got to start there. So if Jackson State ain't the one, he's going to be a coach somewhere. So just give me a chance to vent a little bit.
Coming up.
PO'd me. I can't say the word.
That's okay. Coming up next, our Beauforting Buzz of the Day. It involves Big Ten college football. And the state of Michigan may make things interesting for the Big Ten about this whole comeback. We'll discuss that next here on The Fan.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story, brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed-about beverage, 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
20's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan, live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. It is time for the Beauforting Buzz right now, and this comes out of Michigan. Governor Whitmer of Michigan, this is according to Dave Eggert of the Associated Press in Michigan. I checked with Governor Whitmer's office. The mask order for organized sports applies to Big Ten football, but players okay if they wear some type of face shield. The administration does plan to have a call with the Big Ten. And then an updated tweet, Whitmer administration has reached out to the Big Ten to discuss her mask mandate further. It may be fitting to treat the Big Ten more like professional sports, as they are very stringent and there are very clear rules and guidance in place, as spokesperson Tiffany Brown. If they're going to force these universities to have essentially shields across their face masks,
like we have seen modeled before, and some players are wearing in the National Football League. That is going to be an additional cost and have to be a quick turnaround, Gary, for the teams on the Big Ten schedule like Wisconsin that would have to play Michigan in Michigan.
So what do you mean a cost? What do you mean quick?
If you're going to have to go out and purchase these plastic shields put inside of the face mask.
Yeah, they already got them.
Oh, so the university's already spent all that money. I've only seen the NFL had bought this. I was not aware that all these Division I schools had already purchased them.
Yeah, well, not all of them, but Big Ten for sure. They got them. They got them back in the back room, Steve. And then them jokers had them things on. You remember that one time, Leroy, when I don't know if you remember Notre Dame. They came to practice on a Friday, and then they came back the next day. They had painted all the helmets in one night.
Oh yeah, we did it at Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, they put them shields on in like 10 minutes.
Well, it wouldn't be an expense for the school; it'd be an expense for the helmet company. Yeah, if you can't do it, I'll switch to Rydell and go to Bike because Bike can do it.
Well, yeah, but they got them shields. They got them shields already in that room.
Yeah, they'll work that out.
You remember when Billy Smith wanted to wear it? Billy Smith had one in high school.
That's a face shield.
That's different. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about covering the mouthpiece with that plastic shield that snaps into the inside of the face guard
Russell Wilson had one.
Correct.
Russell Wilson got one.
And I don't believe all these schools have them. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe they already bought them and spent thousands and thousands of dollars in case they weren't going to play.
No, it was coming down. Okay, yeah. Well, okay. I thought you were talking about the one Billy Schmidt had.
No. Not like Gilbert Brown's. No, not that.
Well, I'm going to use Billy Schmidt, but we can use Gilbert, too.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying the plastic piece that, you know what I'm talking about, right? Snaps on the inside.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The guard, so you don't spit in another person's face or whatever the case may be. Yeah. The line that cracks me up is, the Whitmer administration, the quote is, as it may be fitting to treat the Big Ten more like professional sports, as they are very stringent and there are very clear rules and guidance in place. These are college kids. Like, you cannot treat this like they're going to follow the rules. I just don't think that's going to go very well if that's how you're going to operate this.
Well, it's part of the uniform. If they said, if the doctor that they met with said that'd be a good idea to use it, and it wouldn't cost the school anything. Like I said, whoever their helmet is, I don't know if it's Shutt, is it Bike or Rydell, they'll put them on in no time. They're going to be nice help. They can do that now. I mean, they'll do it. And I think they also have to treat them like, and I would agree with them, treating them like that, because some states are going to start paying these guys anyway. So they're going to be professional athletes in the next year or two. They're going to all get paid. So they're going to always have to go by what the NFL does. And I would also, I like that they're leaning on the NFL, because the NFL has been keeping their players safe for the most part without a bubble. And they've been going through all these protocols and testing all these guys at a rapid pace. So you know that other team, you can go over and talk to that young man now, because both of us been tested, both of us been in protocol, everything is fine. They got to do the same thing with all the universities and conferences, and everybody will be on the same page.
All right, coming up next, Great Lakes Dragaway Pick a Lane, the top three of the day, courtesy of, Roy Henning, our guys down there, Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. You want to stay tuned for that. And then Mike Clemens, our embedded Green and Gold reporter, joins us at 5:35 here on The Fan. Speaking of, here he is.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.